Catherine, do you ever get high when you make your artwork?
Well, James, that's a good question. I've only gotten high or attempted to, like maybe 6 times my entire life.
While you're making your artwork or
in
while,
general?
In general.
The
okay.
aggregate. Overall, weed doesn't affect me in any way, shape, or form.
That's easy to say.
Or at least I don't think it does. But one time I did get high with a friend. This was years and years ago. And we decided to make art. And her husband did. He was a designer and he used to decorate model homes. So we just kept doing some weed. And we mixed paint with this mushy, like, paper mulch.
Okay.
And then we kept throwing it on the canvases. And then it dried.
This is why you were, quote, high.
Yes.
Okay.
And I just remember laughing a lot. And there was a lot of, you know, pigment everywhere. And then he hung them in these model homes and we sold them all.
It sounds like you were high.
I think that probably was.
So the answer would be yes. And I bring that up to launch us into our first topic.
Okay.
I saw an article recently which brought together a couple of different interesting phenomena in our life these days. We have dispensaries now that weed is fully legal. Marijuana is fully legal in the great state of Arizona.
Yes, it is.
We have, you know, painting and art that we like to talk about.
Yes, we do.
And this covers both of those because it's a story about Leafly.com, which is an online marketplace for weed, which is weird for me to say or even see because it's an open website that you can go to and it tells you, oh, these are the best kinds of weed out there. These are, you know, here's a 20% discount for this weed here and shows you where to buy the weed. And it's just all out in the open now. So it's a little bit...
It's different. It's hard to get used to in a way, isn't it?
It's going to take this old person a little bit longer to get used to seeing that kind of thing. But anyway, what was really interesting about this article was that they sponsored a couple of local artists to make some trays that they were going to give away at local dispensaries. So right. Local artists at local dispensaries seems like a really nice way to support people. And unusually for the art world, these artists looked like they were actually competent.
They do. They really do. I looked at the article. I thought they were competent. I think this is a great idea.
These are illustrators who make some great work that certainly borders on art, if not straight out art, but they're, you know, the gifted people here.
Right. And they're supporting local artists and the local cannabis industry. And I think anything to support local anything these days is a good deal.
Do you know how to pronounce these people's names? Because a lot of these are kind of confusing me. Well, actually, just the first one was Ashley.
Macias.
Macias?
I'll go with Macias.
Neela Lee and Clay Holling. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to see local artists who were really good.
Yes, I agree. And that's a nice story. After we talked about this, I looked up, you know, just art and cannabis. And interestingly, there is a place in Los Angeles, a dispensary that is full on like an art gallery.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And it's phenomenal.
You got a lot of places that are trying to do double duty. Like there are a lot of bike shops that try to turn into coffee shops as well.
Well, like a mixed use space. I think it's fantastic.
In fact, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's called the Artistry in Los Angeles. And they have some really good original art and California's artists.
Well, it's a nice mix. People come to buy the weed mm-hmm. and they can actually buy the weed.
Right.
And not buy the art because no one buys art anyway.
I don't think they do. They certainly don't buy my art, James.
Well, it's hard to sell art.
Yes.
As we've discussed for many reasons. Mm-hmm. The other question I had for you this morning, Catherine, is how is your dog?
Oh, my gosh. He was having a really good day yesterday. And then I fed him some rice pudding and it went downhill fast.
Do you think it was because of the rice pudding?
I don't know. I hope there wasn't any xylitol in it.
Was he displeased by your rice pudding?
No, he's so old, and I know we're on limited time here. I'm just trying to maintain a good quality of life. And he was so happy, and then he just got so sick.
Be nice if you'd feed me rice pudding once in a while.
I got it at El Super at the deli, and I called them. I'm like, is there anything funky in here? Is it just sugar, or what is going on?
Isn't it just sugar and rice?
They had no idea. Well, okay. I'm just hoping there wasn't any xylitol in it.
I don't know what xylitol is.
It's toxic. Your wife would know all about it.
Well, of course she would, but I'm not her.
Yeah, it's just some sort of like sugar, alcohol, or something. It's not good for animals, or dogs in particular. And so I, you know, another sleepless night, I was worried about him. And I think that it probably wasn't xylitol. I think it was my anxiety and my inability to let this little pup go. He's so darn cute. And he's been a loyal.
I ask because I'm trying to care, but I
know
can't.
You don't care.
And I think part of it is because it's a Chihuahua. And I don't even know technically if those are dogs.
He's a dog.
No, I don't think so.
He's actually, like, he thinks he's a person.
Well, that's one of the problems now, isn't it? Is it a person or is it a dog?
He's a dog.
My dog knows that she's a dog. Well, that's not really true. She likes getting on the couch when we're out of the house.
Yeah, I think Chloe's got some...
Sorry,
I always call her Chloe. My bad. I think she's very cute.
Yeah, she's a great dog, but, you know, sometimes she gets on the couch. All right, so now that we've bored each other with those two stories...
Were you bored?
A little bit. I was kind of a little bored.
Were you?
Well, the dog always bores me. This is me trying to be human and trying to be interested in other people's stuff.
I think you should just, like, go with the not human aspect.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, speaking of non-aliens, non-humans. We could be talking about aliens. And did you know, Catherine?
Uh-oh.
Did you know that you could stop an alien abduction by invoking the word of Christ?
I somehow knew this.
I think you're supposed to say invoking the name of Christ.
Invoking the name of Christ.
Whatever. I guess yes. I'm not a very good Christian.
Yeah, ditto.
Well, especially since you're Jewish. No response. Come on, give me something. No, I know you're not Jewish, but I think of you as being Jewish.
Well, there is a lineage of Jewish.
It shows.
I've been told that a lot.
To me, you come across as being a Jewish Korean.
A Jewish Korean.
That's who I think of you as.
Oh, wow.
Is that good?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I didn't mean it in a bad way.
No, that's okay. And my Korean still sucks, by the way. I'm trying so hard.
Don't care.
I know.
Because I don't understand Korean, so that's not
evidently
good.
I don't either.
And it's bad for me the more Korean you know, because that just means you're going to be watching more of those Korean shows.
I know.
And I don't want to hear any more Korean shows.
Oh, I know. I'm watching Hospital Playlist now.
I don't know what that is.
Don't worry about it. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Back to the aliens. So this is a wonderful article I stumbled across doing some follow-up research on some of the things we've talked about in the past. This wonderful website, Alien Resistance. Oh, I've forgotten the name of the website. I think it was alienresistance.org.
I think so. And it was like, there's actually a foundation. I looked at it a little bit deeper.
Right.
And there's like a CE4 research group. And they have their own separate website.
That was like the best part of the article, is that they're trying to sound all science-y about
it. Oh, no. CE4. I was like, oh, my God.
Every second sentence, it's like, oh, and the research shows.
But their research showed multiple numbers, and none of them jived initially. They said, we've worked with over 400 cases of alleged alien abductions. And then five sentences later, 350 cases. And then at the end, we've documented 95. And I'm just like... What is it?
Pick your number here.
Yeah, it didn't sound great.
They had links to, I don't know how many, they had at least several dozen links to actual, quote, eyewitness accounts.
Well, they did. They had attestations, and you can click on them.
But I didn't know who these people were.
I didn't know who they were either.
It was Bill 1, Bill 2, Bill 3. It's like they can't even come up with
any. Yeah, I didn't know either.
Unique names. But that was so funny, though, to think about it, that this is an interesting take on the alien abduction thing. Invoke the name of Christ, and you can stop the alien abduction immediately. And one of the complaints in the article was that, what does this mean? Why aren't more people talking about this? Does this indicate that these aren't aliens and maybe I don't think they came out and say this, but the implication is, oh, maybe it's just demons.
That was the implication. And I thought it was a strong subtext that wasn't written at all, but particularly the way they talked about it being detrimental and terrifying.
Right.
And the loss of control.
Talking about, an ongoing alien abduction where it happens again and again over the course of years.
Right.
And they were talking about how, well, they're looking at these groups and they found that the Christians were able to stop this, quote, abuse from happening over and over again.
Right. Right. It was due to like it was the name and authority of Jesus Christ and their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What I found disturbing.
Hang on a second. Okay. I have a question for you.
What? Go ahead.
Do you think Christ, he must have a really big book, like contact book, because he seems like he's got a personal relationship with a lot of people. Do you think that wears on him?
Who knows? Who knows? It could, or it could just be, you know, supporting his energy.
The people that I've known who would say things like they have I know people who have said to me that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ are some of the hardest people I know to get along with. And it's just because they just drain my energy.
I agree. And if I would hear that, I remember hearing that, and you know, the born again movement, a lot of people would come at you, like on the college campuses, you know, back in the day. And it was just a red flag to me. And I did find it kind of vampiric in terms of the energy.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, I sense that there's some sort of like entitlement or one-upness because of that. And so I just tend to detach myself from that level of, I don't even know if it's religiosity. We can get into the whole thing, religiosity versus spirituality, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, we don't need to go there. But I don't know. I thought it was a little bit pretentious and hyperbolic to say that just by invoking the name of Jesus Christ, you can do that. And
send the aliens away.
Send the aliens away. But did you find, what
now,
triggered you?
Hang on a second. Of course, now I'm having another thought. I don't know why it's taking this long for this thought to come
into
my head.
It's just synaptic delay, James. It's okay. No, more coffee.
Okay, but this is like 2 weeks later.
Okay.
Is that dementia or synaptic?
I think it's maybe
both. Can't even say synaptic. Synaptic.
Yes, go ahead.
Delay. So let's assume for a moment that this is all correct. There are alien abductions, and if you invoke the name of Christ, it will stop the abduction. Is it because they're scared of Christ, or they're scared of people who worship Christ?
Wow, I didn't think of it that deep.
It's like, oh, we got another one, send them back. If you go fishing, you have to throw back the ones that are too small.
Right.
Because they're not, you know, they're not fully grown. And aliens are like, oh, wait, no, this one's not fully intellectually developed. Let's get another one. That was pretty cold, huh?
Whoa, exactly where my mind went, though. You just said what I was thinking. We were totally in sync.
Have I unveiled a little bit too much about my thinking on the religious scope?
Wow. No, but like you just read my mind. That's exactly what I was thinking. That's so weird.
It's probably not reading your mind. We're just getting the same wavelengths broadcast to us from
the aliens.
From the aliens or the microchips.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you had the vaccine, so we're
down. I had the vaccine, and you had the vaccine.
I did.
So I still don't know why you're wearing a mask.
Oh, I was guilted into this by a friend.
Crazy.
Okay, here.
No, you can't take it off. We don't have a pop filter. You can either have a pop filter or a mask.
Okay, there.
Do you want everyone to hear your plosives?
No, I don't. My what?
Plosives.
What's that?
That is when you use like a hard sound, like a P or a T.
Okay.
With those words, there's a little explosion of air that comes out of your mouth with those sounds. And if you're right on the mic like we are,
right,
that little bit of air punches them. It's basically punching the mic.
Got it.
So it has this unpleasant little effect.
Oh, like a...
Which is why we have these pop filters. And a pop filter is basically just a nylon, a little stretched out piece of nylon that we put in front of the microphone. We can speak directly through it, but it stops the airwave from being too explosive.
I see. Okay. No, I learn something new every time I come over here.
It stops us from being explosive.
Okay. That's interesting.
So the mask acts as a pop filter.
Well, good. Then it's a twofer.
Well, yeah, except that you sound worse.
Do I sound bad?
Of course you sound slightly muffled.
Oh, I'm sorry.
After I spent $30, 30 whole dollars on your microphone.
On my whole microphone. After this, we have to order my microphone. I'll hit you up.
You haven't
done
that yet?
I haven't. I was busy yesterday. I don't even know what I do. But let's get back to the aliens, because what I wanted to ask you, when you sent me the article, you said you were incredibly triggered by this. What was it that triggered you? Because I'll tell you what it was for me.
Well, I don't remember specifically what triggered me other than, because, you know, that was like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Again, so you're asking me, this seems a very aggressive thing to assume that I can remember what I did 2 weeks ago. This seems very abusive.
That's funny.
Some kind of, maybe not a macroaggression or a microaggression, like a mid-level aggression.
Mid-level? No.
A mid-gression. Don't mid-gression me.
Well, I'll tell you what triggered me. The causes. I read this and then I went to the CE4 research group website.
Oh,
but
wow.
The causes.
You want a whole nother level below this.
Oh, I went down the rabbit hole.
Oh, boy. I thought going to this website was, for me, was going down the rabbit hole.
No, I went to their actual website and it's just, you know, and I'm like, is this legit? And it's definitely a Christian bias, but they talk about the causes. It's like, why would aliens come for you, James? Why would they? You know why they would? There's three reasons why they would. You asked for it. You asked for it. Number one. Number two, you unwittingly opened the door through occult behavior or belief in New Age thinking. And number three, you're part of an ongoing cycle of social conditioning, meaning you have no covering, no godly cover for you or your family.
So you're basically shaming the victim or blaming the victim?
That triggered me. Yeah, it's like victim it's shaming. It's that whole like Christian thing. It's like, I think it's what turned me off as a child, even as a very young child, to the whole concept of religion. Growing up as a Catholic, I actually was Roman Catholic and went to Catholic school. albeit briefly, until we moved here. And it was just all that shame, you know, the original sin. It's like, what the hell did I do?
That is a really weird thing, that original sin thing.
Yeah. And it just smacked of that. And I read that and I'm like, I wasn't triggered until I read. Then I was like, oh boy, this just really got to me. And it's like, yeah, of course you got to go down that path that, you know, we brought it on ourselves. You asked for it, bitch. So am I triggered enough yet?
No, I think you could go a little bit higher.
So anyway, so thanks for the article. But being Roman Catholic, I went down yet another rabbit hole in terms of UFOs.
Yes.
Because I think we started talking about this. I don't know if it was you. I mean, I talk to so many people sometimes in the course of a week. I don't know what's happening,
right,
or to whom I spoke. Mm-hmm. I started thinking maybe it was you, because I'm like Mothman. You know, because I'm like, what is the aliens? You know, are they ghosts? Are they aliens? Are they demons? Is it a figment of your imagination? Is it groupthink? You know, what the hell is it? And so I started thinking, you know, this whole Mothman phenomena. And then my mind immediately went to Marian apparitions, like the apparitions of,
wow,
of Virgin Mary.
Your brain just bounces all over the
place. My brain does, because they're related in my mind, and they've always been related in my mind.
Okay.
Because there were, you know, these sightings of something unusual, whether it be a big bird-like man with like angelic kind of wings, or if it was a woman in a shrouded figure, you know, speaking to people from a hillside. And what did they have in common? They had in common that they were like harbingers of some sort of messaging.
Oh, right. People love harbingers.
It was a harbinger. And it's like, are they the same things? Is this the same kind of phenomena? And other things I thought they had in common, like they were just harbingers of things to come. And it's like they were, and sometimes there were events that followed. Or there was a really serious warning. Like with Mothman, it was like that, you know, and it took place in the 60s. So I'm piping any time here. I'm kind of going off on a sub-rant.
I don't know what to follow up with.
Oh.
Aside from, and the only thing I can really take from that is the idea that the harbinger is a very powerful motif in our culture. I think in all cultures, the idea that you know what's going to happen. And that is the key that mm-hmm. charlatans use to open you up.
Exactly. That's the question I have in terms of this. It's like, you know, to our discussion, I believe it last podcast, we started talking about aliens, and you're like, this hasn't been documented. There were no, you know, until you could document something, you could say just about friggin' anything. And so a lot of these.
Well, what I was saying there was that I didn't look to see if this was true, but I had heard recently that the abductions have gone way down,
mm-hmm.
basically in opposite proportion, inverse proportion to the rise of cell phones. So, you know, if you have a cell phone and you claim that you've been abducted, well, you can just grab your cell phone and take a picture. Well, you don't have that proof, mm-hmm. so you can't really make that claim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until the electricity is interrupted, like when the car stops.
Or, you know, it could be people are so enthralled by their phones now that they don't even bother to think about lying about being abducted by aliens.
Right, right. A lot of this stuff happened, or these apparitions happened, you know, before the advent of cell phones, obviously. Mothman was like 1966 to 67, until that bridge fell, the Silver Bridge, whatever, it collapsed.
I don't know what that is.
Was warning about that. It was in this Point Pleasant.
Oh, they're assigning their prophecies to things that happen. I mean, that's so common.
But same thing with the Marian prophecies.
Low-hanging fruit, though. You can always assign. I'm sure I'm sure there are people already talking about how, oh, I knew that building in Miami was going to fall down.
Right.
They did know. The guy who checked, you know, the people who actually looked at it the last year said, you know, this is in really bad shape. And the whole mm-hmm. condo board, I think, just resigned like last year, 2 years ago.
Good,
because they couldn't figure out how they couldn't get it fixed. They said, we need to fix this. And the other side was like, no, we don't need to fix this. And
that's a terrible thing. It's just terrible.
Maybe we need more abductions again, because people are believing in really even crazier things like Donald Trump.
And QAnon and all of this other stuff.
That's a good point. QAnon has replaced the aliens.
Maybe they have.
Alex Jones is the new alien.
Yeah, maybe they've replaced the Marian apparitions too.
Oh my God, that makes so much sense now, that thinking of him as being an alien. Because he seems smart, but he's not. But he is. But he's like out of sync enough with humans that he's like, oh, the aliens built this guy and sent him here to try to mess with us. But I can tell he's not really perfectly human. It's like they got it pretty good, but they haven't quite gotten out of the uncanny valley yet with him.
Wow.
So Alex Jones has not crossed the uncanny valley. He's deep in it because he's almost real, but people who have a negative reaction to him have realized, oh no, he's like, he's so close to being human, but he's not.
The whole time you're talking, I just kept thinking of Westworld.
Westworld's the perfect example, though, because that's the point at which they cross the uncanny valley.
Yeah, they did cross the uncanny valley.
In the storyline.
Right. I found that, I stopped getting HBO, but I would like to finish the series. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it was a movie, too. Actually, I think there were two movies.
Well, yeah, with Yul Brynner back in the day. Yeah, I remember that. It was disturbing then. I thought it was fascinating now.
I remember watching the movie for the first time maybe 5 or 6 years ago, mm-hmm. because it's just one of those things I never got around to seeing. And I watched the movie and I was like, that was not as good as I expected it to be.
No,
it was a bit of a letdown.
It was. But I thought the new rendition on HBO was pretty fabulous. I thought it was good.
I've heard great things about it, but I don't have HBO.
Yeah,
so
I don't either anymore.
On my list of things.
I don't either anymore.
And now that we've had a couple of episodes, I think it's important that we do some follow-up.
Okay.
So, and follow-up is just looking at some things we said in the past that may not have been right or that we just want to clarify.
Okay, go for it. Okay.
The whole alien abduction thing and the Christ thing was part of the follow-up. But the other follow-up was I didn't know how old Joe Biden was. And I looked it up, and according to Wikipedia, he is 126 years old.
Oh, wow. I was so wrong.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm 78 years old.
Okay. Okay, I was going to say, I was off by like 50-some-odd years.
Yeah, well, you know, it's close enough. So that was all.
Oh, good, good.
That was the whole follow-up.
78 and going strong.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Seems like the climate is changing faster than Joe Biden is.
The climate is changing. Wasn't there a movie about climate change that like literally one day it was like normal and the next day everything fell apart?
There have been several movies, several bad movies, I think, about climate
change. Yeah, I think
it
was a bad movie. This is like living through a bad movie. When the climate change discussion was so openly mocked back in the days of Al Gore, they were just mocking him.
Mercilessly, yeah.
You know.
Well, some people were.
Some people were. Some people were. And I thought maybe he's got a point.
The people who could read were not mocking him.
Right. And I don't know if he's ever been vindicated by the masses. But, you know, last summer was, I know the pandemic, of course, we can't go through one episode without me mentioning the damn pandemic. It was such an oppressive time here in Phoenix. And it was really one of the worst summers that I recall after living here for, you know, several decades and just have watched this get worse and worse. This summer, what I find disturbing is that, you know, knock on wood, our summer, I don't think it's been that awful in Phoenix, but I had some friends who literally fled to the Pacific Northwest to get away from this.
How did that work out for them?
I don't know, because the last text I got was, we can't talk about it. It's like, because I think they had, you know, probably a nice little beachy place, probably no AC. I mean, I lived in the Bay Area for a while when I was in law school. My apartment
law
didn't
law school?
Have, yeah, well, that's another topic.
I think it would be, yeah.
Yeah, that's another topic. But yeah, I was up in Santa Clara University, and you know, here I come tooling in, you know, my little cute dresses and all my Phoenix stuff, and you know, I'm like,
oh,
where's
I
the
see.
AC? And it was so humid, and so there was no AC. I thought I had moved to a third world country.
Yeah, well.
And it was in Santa Clara, California, this beautiful, you know, Jesuit college and, you know, just gorgeous scenery and access to San Francisco and, you know, just everything was so beautiful. No AC. And it was bad. It was hard to get used to.
Well, I'll tell you this. There is, in some cultures, northern cultures, it's a little bit of a point of honor that they don't have air conditioning. I think that is slowly dying out.
I think it's going to die out.
The good example is London. I remember some people that I know in London were talking about this year after year. Mm-hmm. They kept talking about how, oh, it's, you know, we're breaking records again this year. Now, records, it's you know, half a degree warmer than it was last year. Okay, that's fine. That's not much of a movement. But, it's, you know, they have heat waves now. They're much more accustomed to heat waves. And they keep saying, oh, it's only going to be a couple of weeks. You don't need to get an air conditioning unit. And a lot of London still doesn't have air conditioning units. In fact, I stayed there about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In a really fancy hotel that didn't have air conditioning.
Right.
I don't think those probably don't exist anymore. But they kept talking year after year about how, oh, it's only a couple of weeks. You can live without it. But every year it's, well, a couple of weeks now, and then a couple of weeks, another couple of weeks down the road, and now it's 3 or 4 weeks, and now it's basically the whole summer is kind of miserable.
Right. It's like
so the people, the smart ones, jumped on board years ago to get an air conditioning system. Anyway, that was pretty dull.
No, I don't think that's dull. And I think it's a good observation because I was shocked. I mean, I grew up pretty much, well, either in, you know, Chicago or here. And the majority of my time was spent here. You know, during the summer, we always had the AC, you know, central air. And like my family is like all about, you know, the fake control of like your climate.
Well, it's not like, the fake control, just the control.
Yeah, the control. Like, you know, we go from like the heater to the AC. I mean, there's very little like open window time.
Oh, no. In Phoenix, there is.
Yeah, but not in my house.
Okay.
So it's a big bone of contention with
you
me.
You can choose to have your windows open.
Yeah, well.
At least 2 or 3 months a year.
Yeah, I live maybe with three people or four who months. Were opposed. I mean, that's another rant. I guess I was just very, you know, it was, on one hand, I wanted to find it amusing that people were like running away from Phoenix, but it's really tragic. And I think, you know, it just, you know, it's not funny. It's not funny at all. And I'm hoping they're okay. And I, you know, I imagine they probably are in a place that doesn't have AC. And I just envision them in a cooling center. And I'm like, oh my God, I mean, here we are. You know, everyone just loathes like these summers here. And yet we've had it, and I hate to say this and then bring it on, but you know, we've had it not as bad as last summer. I mean, there haven't been that many days over 110.
Well, the spring was pretty rough. We had some rough time in the spring. Where
it
punched up. And, you know, it's getting hot now. It's hot now.
It is hot now, and it's a little humid. We had a couple drops of rain last night.
Yeah, that's just it was already down to like 35% humidity this morning.
Right.
Which is the wonderful thing about Phoenix. It can rain. It can pour down rain for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then an hour later, everything is bone dry again.
Was there 20 minutes of rain here
last
night?
No, I don't think so. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, in general.
It's really weird out here.
Yeah, it is.
You have to get used to the idea of things actually being able to dry out like instantly.
Instantly. Yeah, because I took the dog out and then there were literally just a couple drops. And then you smell that dust in the
right.
air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I published my Twitter poem.
But that's the thing with Phoenix is it's so civilized in that way. Like mm-hmm. things can genuinely dry out. When I was living in the Northeast, mm-hmm. and I lived in several places mm-hmm. in the Northeast, things never really dried mm-hmm. out because there was always a dampness in the air.
There, yeah.
And here you just have the luxury of things actually drying and pretty quickly. We have a washer dryer
mm-hmm.
and I use the dryer, but I hang usually half a load of what I put in the dryer. I just hang up. The stuff I hang is dry when the dryer is done.
You're so right, because there's just no humidity in the air. And my friend's mom from Minnesota, you know what she calls that when you hang out your clothes?
No.
The Phoenix ironing board.
Okay, that's
isn't that
not
hilarious?
An ironing board.
Well, because they iron a lot, I guess.
Oh, that's really
and she's
silly.
Like, I just like throw it on. And I never iron.
Ironing is
you.
Silly.
But she calls it the Phoenix ironing board because you just put it down, you pull it down, and it's just flat and you're ready to go in about 10 minutes.
When I was in high school, some of the kids I knew in the high school I went to were from France, and they had a pretty big family. I don't know. They had somewhere between 4 and 6 mm-hmm. kids. Their mother was talking to my mother at one point and mm-hmm. just really complaining genuinely of how much time she was spending ironing all the kids' jeans. And it's like, I just can't get through it in the day. How do you do it? And my mother looks at her and says, you don't have to iron the jeans. And the French mother was like, oh my God, thank you. Such a relief. Don't iron anything, people.
Don't iron anything.
Oh, and another really boring story about ironing.
Okay.
I was working at a plastics company in Houston for several years in the early 2000s. It was, you know, filled with engineers and salespeople and accountants mm-hmm. and whatnot, but I was the one designer there, industrial designer there. And I had gotten to know some of the, it was a multinational company, so we had people coming in from Italy. And I knew these people already. I'd already developed a relationship with them, and I was walking them through the office. I knew the CEO of the company. Mm-hmm. We were friends with I was friends with the CEO. But his secretary apparently complained to the CEO about me because I was walking around showing our guests mm-hmm. around the office.
Okay.
And she said, you know, James is walking around showing these Italian guests, and his shirt wasn't ironed. And I thought that was really bad. The CEO was like, it's okay. Don't worry about it. That was just so funny.
That is funny. But
well, I guess it wasn't
anything.
That funny. I guess if I thought about the story, I could have told it a little bit more hilariously, but I guess I should think about these things before I say them.
No, I don't think we should think about anything before we say it.
No, it really does come out better if you think about the things first.
It does?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like practicing.
I just tend to just blurt.
Blurt.
asshole.
That's why I cut our podcast down from 33 minutes to 25 minutes.
From last time?
Well, I think it was 33 to 26 minutes.
That was...
Which is pretty amazing. That's a lot of content to
cut. I can't even remember.
It was almost entirely what you said.
Oh, it was entirely Oh, gosh. That's funny. No, so, yeah, climate change.
So don't iron because it's taking energy and that just causes more climate change.
Right. And, yeah, I feel guilty kind of using the dryer when it is so dry outside. So.
I wouldn't worry about the dryer so much as driving the SUV that you drive.
My SUV, I know. I need gas in my SUV.
Well, no doubt.
No doubt. I know. It's like she worries about climate change yet drives an SUV.
And I worry less about climate change than I drive a Prius.
And I'm just such an American.
Hypocrite. Okay. The aliens are coming for you.
Bring it on. I guess I can just put it out there.
Now you're inviting them into my house.
When I was collecting a lot of beads and doing some of the Healy Feely stones, like one of my friends, George, oh, they're Healy Feely. The Healy Feely.
What? You
know, well, because allegedly, you know, these stones have energy and you balance your chakras and you go down that rabbit hole.
Hey, you know what? You balance your chakras. Don't balance mine. I like my chakras just where they are.
That used to be my code word for sex.
Whoa.
Balance.
Whoa, slow down.
But anyway, getting back to the stones, I do have a collection of stones in my little collection. I have two strands of these really beautiful, and they're faceted. I don't know. They should have probably never used this for beads, but it's called prehnite. And allegedly, one of the properties of prehnite is to attract aliens.
I just had the idea. That was really Delta for me because beads. I bet the reason there are fewer alien abductions now.
Yes.
Is that about 5 or 10 years ago, I bet people started asking, don't send me back. I don't want to go back.
Well, if someone say they took you to some experimental place and it was kind of happy and there was no COVID and the air was clean. I mean, driving over here, I don't know what I was breathing. And there was some truck like spewing black stuff. I mean, I literally put a mask on in my car. To drive over here.
I saw you come out of your car with your mask on.
Yeah, it was a different one, but it is so bad out there, and there is a high pollution advisory today.
Don't you have an air filter in your car?
I probably do, but I'm still coughing. But that black shit was coming off that truck. I couldn't believe it. And what was I saying?
I don't know.
It's probably not important then, huh?
Can't be that important. We're talking about climate change.
Oh, climate
and your car.
I just think climate change is real. I do drive an SUV. Mea culpa. Mea culpa. Mea maxima culpa. It is what it is. I needed something to haul shit in.
What? What do you haul?
I used to haul stuff to the markets when I was doing Festivus and
Okay. Okay. You really are an American because you have such a bad idea of what a good vehicle is for hauling. You bought an SUV instead of a minivan. Why did you buy an SUV instead of a minivan?
I wanted a minivan, and I just felt it didn't suit my driving. The way I drive wasn't well suited to minivan life.
In what possible way?
I just felt like a soccer mom, and then that whole thing is like kind of open, and it just felt weird.
Yes, the whole thing is open. That's the whole point. If you want to haul stuff, you can fold the seats down or take them out, and you have this gargantuan utility vehicle, utility vehicle.
Yeah, this was not, the interesting thing about
You didn't like the way it looked on you.
I didn't. I felt weird in it, and it didn't have like the ones. I wasn't looking at fancy schmancy.
Catherine, I'm so disappointed in you.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Bring it. So come at me.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just disappointed that you allowed yourself to be moved by the social norms of America.
But what I was looking at was it was like a little transit van. Because I was looking at Ford. The Ford Transit.
I know exactly what you're looking at.
Yeah. That
would have been a great vehicle to buy.
Right. And at the time, I think they were making them in Turkey.
Yeah.
Weren't they making them in Turkey?
Yeah. They're made in different places. I laugh because there's a funny story. And this is no longer the case. But at one point, because of the import laws, they were being made overseas. Mm-hmm. Because of the import laws, it was cheaper to build them as passenger vehicles with full seats. Like, they have the two front seats. And I think they had at least four more seats in the back.
Yeah, I think they did.
They would import them as that. Then they would take the seats out when they got here, throw the seats away, and sell them as utility vehicles.
Oh, wow.
Because it was cheaper because there was an import on utility vans. That's like crazy. $5,000. So they would just put these seats in them and then throw them out.
That's crazy. Yeah, the import laws are weird. The same thing with beads. It's like if you go and buy strands of beads, there used to be, and I'm not sure if it's the same thing now, but many years ago, it's like you would find just stuff strung on like really crappy string that would break, like they weren't ever meant to wear. But they'd have these cheap ass clasps. And it's like, God, this is like the worst jewelry in the world. Well, it wasn't meant to be jewelry. It's like they had to import something that was finished.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to something that so was just strong. So
the raw materials had an import
tax
on them.
Yeah, so you just
them.
Take that off and that was all, you know, thrown out also. But yeah, I looked at that.
Okay, I think once we get to the import laws,
mm-hmm.
I think we've run out of content. Once we're talking about import taxes and whatnot, I'm sorry, I am going to apologize to our listeners for going into the import taxation issues.
I know, I don't even know where that was. But I do want to say one more thing about the van.
Get
the
it.
One main reason I didn't want it is it didn't have like the really cool backup camera. And my display on this Escape is big.
Oh, my God. You can add those aftermarket.
I know. I just wanted it all there, man. Just like done. So I'm looking at some other options.
Oh, Catherine.
When I get rid of this car.
So disappointed.
Well, this car. I don't even drive this car.
This is me climate shaming you, by the way, just mm-hmm. so we're clear. I think that's a good place to end it.
I think so, too. We'll talk. You know, just stay cool, folks.
Catherine.
What?
Do better.
Do better. Be best.
Bye-bye.
Bye.